They call it the cinema over there, right?
I think that's just a Europe thing, not an Irish thing.
But Irish is Europe, right?
Yeah.
So. I gotta tell you some bars I dropped to this.
Yeah, me too. Welcome back to Co-Working It. JP here. Woso Boom. What's up?
You fucked up my ass. I say Woso, bro. Nigga said, what's up?
You got in too early. NFL draft week. It's just a hell of a the sports calendar right now. Man, it's loaded. We got NBA playoffs. NHL playoffs, which you don't care about.
You don't either, so let's go. Come on. You never talk about hockey.
So I thought about this today. I don't talk about hockey because even when my team's winning, you don't care. But more importantly, when they lose,
you have a hockey
care.
Team?
Yeah.
Who?
The Bruins.
Oh, you did say that.
So I'm cool about, like, when they win, I just stay quiet because nobody really cares, so I just enjoy it. But when they lose, I don't get shit from anybody. Like, last year, when they had the greatest regular season record of all time and lost in the first round. You didn't even know that.
Still enough, did
if that was... Could you imagine, like, the Lakers going, like, 75... and 7, right? And just destroying the record and then losing in the first round. Like, I would never hear the end of it. But hockey.
That's a fact. Bro, that's, yep. No one cares about that's north of the border shit. That's
not, yeah. No, but it's, I mean, okay, yeah, they do care, but I don't think a Canadian team's won the Stanley Cup since like the early 90s.
I'm talking about relevancy. I'm talking about who cares. Like, I bet it's way more popular up there. When they say A instead of in America, bruh. I don't give a fuck about hockey.
I'll stay quiet, but if the Bruins win a cup, you'll know
you
it.
You brung up hockey during NFL time. Like, come on, bruh. Like, nah. Nah. That's like bringing up baseball during the NFL finals. I mean, NFL finals. Jesus. NFL playoffs.
WPS. I was actually going to mention baseball too, but
Though the Yankees eating.
Yeah, that's fine. They'll fuck it up in the playoffs like usual. NFL draft. You're right. Let's get back to the number one sport. And this year, here's my hot take. Pretty simple. This is an extremely overrated quarterback draft.
It's always overrated quarterback draft. Think about
it. And that's fair. That's fair, but I think this one's even more excessive because they're talking about potentially 4 in the top 6. Maybe 1 through 4, depending on who trades up.
You don't think that Trevor Lawrence draft was overrated?
It was, I know, but that's 4 or 5 quarterbacks in the top 15. So now we're going 4 in the top 6 has never happened before.
4 in the top 6 isn't going to happen. Like, it's not happening. No.
Oh, I think it is.
No.
Yeah. No. Because I think the first 3 are all quarterbacks, and then I think Minnesota is trading up to 5.
Minnesota is not trading up to get the fourth best quarterback. It's not happening.
I think if it's the one they like, though, and we'll get to who that could be, and whether or not they should. Like, I'm just saying, I think they will. Whether they should is a different story.
I think they're trading up to maybe 3. They're going to trade up. Who's 3? Patriots?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're trading up to 3.
So let's start with the number one pick, Chicago. It's all but a done deal. They're taking Caleb Williams. I know there's some analysts that really think Jaden Daniels should go number one. They can think that. It's just not happening. I don't even think it's on the board anymore in Vegas. Like, Caleb Williams is going number one.
Oh, yeah. He's going to the Bears, and he's going to be overrated like he is, but...
So I said, I agree overrated because they've been putting his name with Andrew Luck and like the generational quarterbacks.
Trevor Lawrence was that.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence was that too, and you and me both. I know we weren't on this podcast yet, but we both agreed he'll be good. He's not Andrew Luck.
Nope.
And we've been proven right so far.
And they compare him to Patrick Mahomes, and he's not Patrick Mahomes or Andrew Luck. Like, I don't care what no one says.
Yeah, the Patrick Mahomes comp is similar because they do have similar games outside the pocket. But inside the pocket, I watch a lot of USC games because I'm a hater. And listen, he's talented. He's really good. And USC did not have great weapons. And I hate their head coach, who's an overrated offensive mind. But I just don't see it. I see a lot of improvisation, and that's not going to get it done, especially in Chicago, where QB's careers go to die.
And I don't think he has the good attitude for teammate attitude. I watched this interview on a pivot, and how he was talking about how when what's his bum ass name, Rattler? What's that bum nigga name?
Yep, Spencer Rattler.
Yeah. He was the starter. He was projected to be the number first round pick the next year in a draft, and
number one
overall. And he was complaining to Lincoln Riley about how can I get this job, instead of letting it fall to him, he's begging for it. It's like, mm-hmm. your teammate is up there. He's projected to be number one next year. And this is supposed to be his year. You got all these years in college. You're next up. That's how you do in college, like most quarterbacks. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like that is changing now because of the transfer portal. So, like, if they don't want to wait around. But I'm with you. If he was saying this in the off season, going into the beginning of the season, where Oklahoma was top three team,
yes,
with the number one quarterback, you got to shut up. I don't care. And we knew, like, you knew how good he was. He was a top overall recruit, but hey, you chose to go there knowing who was there. Get in line.
And he said he beat him out, which he did. Like, he said he beat him out in preseason, and that's why he was supposed to be, he thought he should have been a starter. But this dude is projected to be number one. Like, you gotta let him get his shine, and then if he fuck up, he fuck up.
Which he did,
and then you got your shot. Like, that's how it's supposed to happen. But
yeah, there's a lot of off the field kind of stuff with him. It's not bad. It's just weird. He's a little weird guy, man.
He's a full of himself guy.
Yeah.
Like he's think he's coming in to change the game and that type of shit. When you're not, bro. Fuck Caleb Williams.
I mean, it was halfway through the college football season that he was talking about
OU
already deciding where he wanted to play, which that's a whole different conversation. The draft is kind of stupid in that sense, but that's a different conversation. No, but when he started talking about he wanted a piece of, like, the organization, like,
yes,
he wanted shares. Yes. Chill, man. Like, there's been plenty of great college football players who have won a Heisman their sophomore, junior year, and then come back. And, like, that's happened a lot the last 20 years. You're not that special.
No. Your name is
And then you shit the bed the rest of the year. I mean, again, he had good numbers, but I'm sorry. You know, shout out to Notre Dame. They bent him over. They made him look bad. Three picks in the first half, four total turnovers. Any good team he played, he looked average. And again, I think USC was completely overrated and an average team. But if you're a generational quarterback, you elevate. And he didn't do that.
That's a fact.
So Chicago's got good talent, though. Like, it's not like he's going to the worst team in the NFL like Bryce Young did last year, where he's stepping in, and we all knew he was not good enough to elevate that team. Mm-hmm. He is going to some talent. They got weapons. They got a tight end, decent defense, but it's still Chicago, and you're going to a loaded division, too, now with Green Bay and Detroit. I don't know. You think he's going to win Rookie of the Year? Like, I don't think it's a
game. Don't forget about Minnesota.
Well, it depends who their quarterback is. We'll get to them. So the number two pick that everyone's kind of focusing on right now is Jaden Daniels out of LSU. Again, overrated in my mind. He's a stick figure. Not going to lie, man. It looks like you running around out there.
You a hater. And that what that means, Lamar Jackson stick figure-ish.
I think he's even smaller than him.
Lamar Jackson coming in the league was small. He got bigger over the years, but he was small. Vic was small.
If you, there's like a highlight reel of Jaden Daniels literally getting thrown around like a rag doll in college. Like when he tried to jump through the line, I think against Florida State, that guy caught him midair and slammed him down like it was the mid 80s.
Still has it, tries to jump over people. Athletic guys, the last thing you want to do is go airborne right into the middle of that defense.
Runs to the sideline, decides to cut up instead of going out of bounds. He gets pushed back 5 yards and loses the ball.
Going to try and run for it. Breaking tackles. Oh,
holy guacamole. Watch this hit right here.
He just goes flying. It looks like freshman versus varsity. Again, he's talented. And I give Brian Kelly credit for actually for the first time taking a quarterback and making him better. But a lot of his stats were against Grambling State, Army, Georgia State. Like, he racked up some bad teams. And they lost 4 games. He won the Heisman. He put up crazy stats. But the number 2 overall pick, going to Washington, too? I don't see it. I don't think it's
going to
work.
I don't think he's going to Washington. I think Washington getting Drake May. I'm dead-ass serious. I'll write that down.
Wow. All right.
I think Washington getting Drake May, and then when number 3 come up, I tell you, that's where I think he's going to go.
Wow. I mean, that's not what Vegas is saying. I'm just kind of
I'm telling you.
At this point, they don't get this wrong. I think it's Daniels.
I watch Pro Football Focus and them dudes over there, and Florio said, man, you got good, like, who people text them. They said sources. Saying like, if they get that pick, they not getting Jaden Daniels, not the one they picking.
Wow, that would be a stunner.
I'm telling you, I think it's Drake May and the Patriots will be on the clock after that.
Okay, so how do you feel about Drake May though?
I think he's trash.
Yeah, I think he's just another rocket armed. Generic white guy.
I gotta talk. Like, you know when some people talk and it even make you hate them even more? Like, I know, like, my voice. People, like, when I start talking, they're like, yo, this irritating-ass little hypes, pitch-ass, bum-ass voice. I get it. But, because I hate people's voices. And his voice is a hateable voice. You heard him talk? Oh, my God. That shit sound crazy.
Must sound good enough for Washington to take
it. Yeah, like slave owner type shit. Like you ever heard? He got that country accent, but I'm telling you, man.
I think he's got a decent floor. Like, I think he can just be good. But again, we're talking like top 3. And like, he had some bad games last year. But he's got the big arm. He can make a lot of good throws. But again, we're talking like top of the draft franchise changer. And again, I just don't see it.
I'm with you.
People just over-evaluate quarterbacks. So, I mean, I kind of...
Who's the quarterback there? Oh, boy, Sam Howell. Washington got Sam Howell right now.
No, they traded him.
So who's the quarterback over there?
I don't know. Like, that's, they have to take one.
Oh,
they
May going over there. It's Mayday.
Because I kind of, you know, as a Buffalo hater, I really want the Patriots to get this right. So I actually kind of want them to trade out. I don't want them taking one of these quarterbacks. They don't have enough talent on that team.
The Patriots are going to trade out, and I'm going to tell you the team. You want me to tell you the team they're going to trade to?
Mm-hmm.
Trade with? Minnesota. Minnesota going to have 2 first-round picks because they're going to trade with Buffalo. But we'll get to that later. Or the Raiders.
So I think the Raiders, if Jaden Daniels falls to 3, I think that because I think him and Antonio Pierce have a really good connection. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're right and Washington takes May, that's a very, very good possibility.
Yeah, trade Devontae Adams to us and we'll give him that extra draft capital.
See, you know That's your brain saying this can't happen, and it wasn't going to allow you to say the words correctly.
It kept saying cap, 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 cap.
Yeah, I want the Patriots to just move back, collect some assets, and maybe take a guy in the second round and see what happens. But it's not a do or die situation when you take someone at three and he doesn't work out, because you have no offensive talent or offensive mind coaches on that entire organization.
They got offensive talent.
Yeah,
I really like their talent. Bourne is nice.
Nice. Not good enough for one of these quarterbacks to step in. And I'm not a hater. I want them to be good.
If the quarterbacks is generational, like how they talking about. So,
which when you're drafting at three, not good. All right. The fourth quarterback. How much time do we have?
Who's the fourth quarterback?
J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, your boy.
Where do I start?
Ann Arbor greatest.
A second rounder at best, talent-wise. Mm. When your offensive coordinator at Michigan tries to hide you against the best teams that they played, how the hell are you going to get drafted in the top five or six? How? Explain it to me.
Is they hiding them, or are their weapons, like their receivers weren't, like they don't got first round receivers, second round receivers? So, like, if we don't got the receivers out here, like it's not Alabama, it's not Oklahoma, it's not Ohio State. Like, come on, bro.
See, Drake May has no first round wide receivers.
He don't play good talent either. Like, ACC is trash.
ACC got Notre Dame and Clemson. Calm down. J.J. McCarthy, his last six games. You want to hear his passing totals? We're going to start with a big old 60. 60. 141. 147. 221. 140.
Sound like Justin Fields on the Bears.
Fuck you. Like, anytime anybody talks about J.J. McCarthy, what are the two things they bring up? That he's sneaky athletic.
That's what they say about every white boy.
No matter what sport.
That's racist. I don't care what you say. What kind of shit is that? Sneaky athletic.
I feel like the only sport you can't be sneaky athletic in is tennis.
Don't judge the paint job. Don't judge the paint job. He's sneaky athletic. Only one they didn't say that about was Tim Tebow. But go ahead.
So that, and then he's a winner. Because all college quarterback winners automatically become great NFL quarterbacks, as you know.
Nah, I ain't going to let you do that. A person that always put winning on everything, you got to let that be a qualifier, bruh. Like, come on. Look at Tool was a winner. Look at, he got in the league. He's doing good. Tua's better than the second round pick.
That's fine.
Okay, but you say this dude got second round talent. Tua got first round talent. He just don't got first round health. That's it. Come on, bro. Let's be real.
Nah, Tua had and has way more upside than McCarthy.
He's a winner, and though.
There's a lot of winners. Like, those can't be the only reasons. What about your arm strength? What about your decision making? What about your pre-snap, view of everything? What, winning? Well, when you hand the ball off 40 times a game, it's a lot easier to win, and you have a top five defense. Ugh. I just don't see it. I don't see him standing back on an NFL team and being successful. I am. The ultra Michigan hater. So you can say this is bias all you want. I don't see it. Neither do you.
I know I don't. So that's why I'm going to say this. I bet Penix Jr. going to get picked before him. And I don't even think Penix Jr. is a first round pick.
And you're really swinging and missing here.
No. Okay, we're gonna be up for review.
Yes, we will. All right, let's talk wide receivers a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Because we know a team in Western New York is searching for one badly.
Where's Western New York? I don't know where that's at.
Rochester's in Western New York, and a little more west is Buffalo. So, so there's clearly, it's actually a very loaded wide receiver draft. But there's only real top three that separate themselves, and that's Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze.
I think it's another one, too, but you ain't going to say him. The dude Brown. Oh, I said it wrong. Brian Thomas.
Yeah. There you go. Close.
Yeah, Brian Thomas. Yeah. I'm bugging. The other LSU receiver. That's what I should have just said.
There you go. Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, then you got the kid from Texas. Actually, two kids from Texas. Mm-hmm. You got Worthy and Mitchell. You got McConkey, the sneaky athletic white boy from Georgia.
Mm-hmm. The dude from LSU. I mean, Oregon. I mean, what's his
Troy
name?
Franklin. Yeah, Xavier Leggett from SC. Keon Coleman was a beast, and they got him like 10th. Like, it's loaded.
Mm-hmm.
But those top three, I think, have separated themselves. Here's my issue. All last year, you know, Caleb Williams is number one quarterback, Marvin Harrison Jr., number one wide receiver. And nothing really happened to truly change that. But as soon as the season ends, it's amazing what happens. All of a sudden, everyone's jumping on the Malik Nabers bandwagon because he's a little faster than Harrison.
And you see, like, he you know what he got over Harrison to me? He get more set, like, he could get the 50-50 balls better than Harrison. Don't get as much separation. No, I didn't mean that. I mean, Harrison don't get as much separation. Look at the highlights. He's not that fast, bro.
Oh, he's still 4. He's still 4.4, but he's not. No, he's not 4.3 like Nabers. I give you that.
A lot of his highlights is with other people in it. He's not blowing past anybody. A lot of his highlights. That's what I'm saying. That's just the slants. But like when he's going down the field, he's not blowing past anyone. I like him.
He's not as fast as Calvin Ridley was or Calvin Johnson was or anything. But his ball in the air skills are top notch. He comes down with everything and he always gets 2 feet down. My issue, like, because everyone's saying, like, look at the numbers Nabers put up, because Marvin Harrison won the Biletnikoff, which is the best receiver. And I was like, well, look at how many more yards Nabers had. Can we remember who was throwing the ball to each of these guys? One is going to be a top three pick, potentially. And won the Heisman. The other one lost his job and is going to Syracuse. Marvin Harrison's number one. People are overthinking this shit. I'm sick of it. 1,200 yards, 14 touchdowns with a bum-ass quarterback and still almost went undefeated. He was the best player in college football last year. So stop overreacting. If Arizona takes Nabers, they're going to regret the shit out of that.
Nah, because it's like what you said. Just because you're the best college, whatever, doesn't mean you're going to be the best NFL, whatever. It's like Judy came in that draft with CD and all of them, and he was, like, literally supposed to be the best receiver out of all of them. And look it. Like, and that was from the beginning to the season to the end.
Don't mess with DNA. Who's his dad?
All that DNA shit do not mean nothing. Like, until Steph came around, basketball DNA is trash to Steph and Clay. Like, let's be real. NFL DNA, NFL DNA the same way, unless y'all brothers. Only the brothers been doing good, not no father, son. It been brothers. Let's be real.
Bro, don't you notice how old we're getting when you see the sons of certain players playing now? Like Frank Gore Jr. is playing in college, I think. I think it's just so many of them.
Sertan, the one that hit me.
Oh, yeah, because
Like, I was young watching him.
Yeah. Yeah, because if they had a long enough career, then if they had a 10, 12 year career.
Bro, it's a couple of these dudes.
Randy Moss's son on that LSU team.
LSU.
That won the championship. It's getting worse and worse. Like,
Word.
All right, so what do you want Buffalo to do? Do you want to trade up for somebody in the mid-teens, give up that second-round pick that you just got, or what do you want to do?
Okay, these my options.
What do you want to do, and what should they do?
What they should do. Okay, damn. Want and should. What I want them to do is trade with Minnesota and get us Justin Jefferson. They don't want to pay him. Or, like, it's perfect. We give y'all this year's first-round pick, next year's first-round pick, and you got to take Von Miller's contract. And we got Justin Jefferson. Like, that's a perfect trade to me. But other than that, trading up and getting Justin Jefferson or from Oakland, trading with Oakland, you know, getting Devontae Adams. If a receiver fall down to us, if it's not either Marvin Harrison Jr., which he's not, Malik Nabers, which he's not, I don't like that Washington kid. You can have him. Mitchell from Texas, if it's not him, or the dude Thomas. If it's not any of them, get a cornerback. I don't give a fuck about this receiver shit. Like, if it's a deep receiver draft,
yeah.
I know we not the Steelers. We don't know how to draft receivers because we got Gabe Davis in the second round, and he came in the same draft as T. Higgins, I think. And no way that was cool. But I say get a corner. I think we need a corner. We need pass rush too, but I really believe we're gonna need a corner to go on the other side. Because if they bring Elam out there again,
that's actually kind of smart, because then you just take a receiver in the second round, and hopefully it's not Gabe. It's 2.0.
That's a fact. No big dude. Get a fast, tall guy. I need a tall receiver. I want a tall receiver. I'm gonna be honest with you. A tall receiver or a corner.
That's what Worthy is from Texas. He's the tall, lanky speedster. Mm-hmm. Now he's not built, but he's the one that can catch and run away from the defender.
You mean Mitchell?
Yes. No, I think Worthy, the other one from Texas.
No, I'm talking about Mitchell is the fast one, right? Or that's Florida State.
No, Worthy's 6'1", 172. He's got to be the speedster at 172.
Oh, that's not the one I'm talking about. The one I'm talking about, the Texas receiver, is Mitchell. What's his name? Adion?
Yeah, he's 6'4", 196. So he's the tall one. The Worthy's the speedster. So yeah,
I want the Adion kid. Where the fuck's name is?
I don't know, man. If you go cornerback and then draft like Coleman or Franklin from Oregon in the second round, that's how you nail it. Don't trading up is just, man, it's risky. It's risky. Especially for someone who you don't have in your top 10.
Justin Jefferson? Oh, yeah. Gotta get Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson. Yeah, boy. Justin Jefferson. You know how hype my son would be if that happened? More hype than me. And you know I'm going to be dumb hype.
You got a better chance of being cast on the remake of The Jeffersons.
I'm being George this time. Yo, but my shit don't grow like that. It might start right here, but it don't grow like this. Europe is the savior of the black man. Go ahead.
It's a great transition into movie review time with JP. So I watched a movie that Woso had watched a long time ago and has been trashing it for years, and I've always wanted to give it a chance, but his negative review actually deterred me from, I would see it, be like, move on to something else. But my wife's been wanting to watch it for years. She finally decided that's on the list. We're watching. I'm like, all right, let's do it. And it was Jordan Peele's sequel, or not sequel, but follow-up to Get Out. And it was called Us. Now, you want to do good or bad first?
What good? Come on, you got to explain this to me.
Hey, man, like, Jordan Peele comes out of the gates just blazing with Get Out. I know you don't love it. I think it's your favorite of the three.
Get Out is one of my favorite movies. I think it's just over. Okay. I put it in like one of them overrated bags when people throw it in, but okay. I could watch Get Out. Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Okay. I mean, that was a cultural phenomenon. The way everybody loved it, made a lot of money, nominated for an Oscar. He won best screenwriter for it. I mean, it was a big deal for a first time director.
Yeah.
Somebody that people did know because he got big from his his show.
Yeah, I think we knew him, the Key and Peele show. Like we knew him from there, so that's not why people watch the movie. But like, you know how I say, I don't like popular stuff, but like that movie, it made me torn because like I'm like, this movie is great, but y'all act the deep dives into it. It annoyed me. Like I don't like the racist. Like I don't like that shit, man. All that I don't. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that's what the movie is. I mean, it is a take on race.
Yo, so and that's why I loved it. Like, them taking the brains out of the black people and the white people and put them in the black people bodies because it's more athletic and shit. No, that I love that shit. That shit is fire.
So the pressure was on for his next movie, and he decided to go horror again. Now I feel like this one is a little more conventional horror than the other one, because with Get Out, it was more of a word of mouth for me. I didn't really know what it was going into it, but this one definitely was promoted as a horror movie. So again, that's what he's good at. So I don't blame him for going that route. I like the unique idea of Us. Like, it's unique. The tethered humans. I mean, it just looks like a ghost story. Like, it's like, oh, she just has her ghost. Like, and okay. All of a sudden, the rest of the family shows up. They each have one. Like, all right, now I'm intrigued. The movie intrigued me for a while. It really did. Like, I wanted to know more. But as it went on, I'll give you some leeway. The longer it went, the more I started doubting it. But I'm going to stay with the good so far. Thought it had a good amount of funny. I thought the husband, who was actually from Rochester, shout out to him, he's the perfect comedic timing of that movie. I like that the plot starts right away. Usually when it's a horror movie in a house, or it starts in a house, it takes 3 or 4 nights for something to happen. First night, there's a little creaking, and then next night a little more. Everything just happens first night, so I like that they got into it.
But you said horror is his thing.
Hold on.
Not when he made Us. Okay. That's his second movie.
Well, it worked the first time. You don't deviate too much from the second time. So as the movie's going again, I think it's at first I thought it was just the family, and then they go to the white people's house to get help, and they're at the door, they're arguing, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, 4 tethered people of theirs come in and just kill them instantly. That was, again, one of the more shocking. I'm like, oh, like now I don't know what's going on. I have no idea, which, again, I'm cool with. I like being surprised. I like not knowing what's happening. And then the twist at the end, spoiler alert, if anyone hasn't seen it, that when they were kids, when she saw her tethered person in the mirror, they actually switched bodies. She choked her out because she wanted to live up in the real world. And that was a great twist. That had my jaw wide open. I'm like, holy shit, he got me. I did not see that coming. It's a great twist in the moment. This is where I'm going to start going towards your way. But anyway, before I get in, let's hear more about what you don't like about it.
I don't think that movie's good anyway, except for like,
It's just
like I like when you said the plot start real fast. I like the quick action in movies. Like get straight to the point. If the buildup isn't necessary, especially if you're gonna do it at the end and like bring it from like how you did it at the end, like with the what you just talked about, the separation or whatever. Bro, the only part I like is the scene is what you're talking about when they go to the neighbors. When they trying to run out their house and they get to the neighbors, the white people you talk about, and all that shit happened. It confused me while I was watching a movie. That's the only reason why I liked it. Then as you start going, it's like, this ain't confusing his ass.
So this is where I'm going to agree with you. Like, I like being confused a little bit. I like the mystery. That only works when you explain everything.
Yes.
The plot holes are just, they're too big to ignore for me. Now, maybe I've only watched it once, so, and I didn't do a huge deep dive. I read some stuff, but why are all the guys, the tethered guys, the males, idiots? Why can't they talk? Are they all, they don't explain it. They never explain it. It's funny. But they don't explain why. Why do all the females talk?
It's always a deeper meaning in his movies. The males don't talk because it's trying to silence the black man in society. And they're trying to bring up the black woman. So they talk too much. Hey, they're trying to bring up the black woman voice and lower the black man. Ha ha. It makes more sense than what you think, right? Thank you.
I don't even know what to think.
You don't think that makes sense of his kind of movie? In his movie.
I don't know. They were going more for class than race in this one. At least that's what I was reading up on. But all right, here's another plot hole. Why did the white family die right away? Like right away.
That's just you hating. Usually it's the black people. Nigga, this is a black horror movie. We just gonna kill some white people just for the fun of it.
But that was white on white crime. But like it was a really interesting scene when she shows up. I mean, the whole family shows up. I mean, that was creepy when they're up at the driveway just staring down at them. But why they basically sat them down and just started talking to them, and then they like teased them. They told the girl who they knew was fast, run, go run. They told the boy to go play with them. They gave the husband a couple minutes, like, you know, you should get out of here now. And then she, like, handcuffed her to the table to talk to her. Why didn't they just kill him? Like, that's the point. They're supposed to kill. I don't really get that. And it all comes back to the twist, which annoys me. It's a great twist at first, but how come they didn't just explain that twist? Her to her tethered person, why didn't she just explain all that right there in that first meeting that they were all together? I don't know. I like it. Great twist, but it doesn't explain how it would have taken that long for the twist to find out. And basically, from the moment she starts chasing her down into, you know, down in the subway, down past all the rabbits, it just started losing me at that point because no horror movie should be over 2 hours. Mm. And that was like 20 minutes. Of a long explanation without being scary.
In 2 hours, 2 hours, and you start the plot in the beginning. So it's like, there's no buildup. So why is it 2 hours?
Right. So you're off to a quick start. And then it felt like the last 40 minutes just kind of dragged. Because it was interesting finding out that it went from a personal story to a family story to a worldwide story. Like, you quickly realize, oh, this is happening worldwide. They start watching TV and they're figuring out what's happening. Like, okay, that's cool. Now it's got a little bigger universe. But from that moment right there to where you find out the twist, it's just a lot of nothing. A lot of nothing happening without scary. Like, it wasn't scary enough to do those scenes for a horror movie.
Boom.
So I do struggle with it. It's weird. Like, I would suggest it to people, but I would just be like, it was good. It was good. Not trash like you say, because there's still too many good qualities. But it's not trash. It's good.
You say for a scary movie, it's too long. Right? For a horror movie, it's too long. The twist is cool, but initially, you like it. Yeah. But you really don't like the twist. You kind of like it,
no,
but
I don't,
you
don't like it. Yeah, I don't like when you go back. I feel like on a rewatch, either I'm going to... I'd be interested on a rewatch if I like it more or hate it more. It won't be the same. You know what I mean? Especially when there's a twist. Some movies, the twist can ruin rewatches, or you can go back and try to pick out, like, oh, that makes that better. This, I don't know which way I would go. But I like the uniqueness. I still give credit to coming over the idea. It still looked phenomenal. I just think the overall aspect of it didn't hit what he was trying to go for. But for a follow-up on a cultural phenomenon movie, it was good.
Why you say cultural phenomenon movie and the first one is a horror movie too? It is, though.
I think that's more of a thriller. I think it's less horror.
It's way more jumpier parts in there than it is in fucking Us.
Yeah, but jump scares are kind of lame.
And to be honest with you, I watched Us once. So, like, when you say you rewatch it, would you like it more or hate it more? I don't want to give it the time to know.
Oh, if you don't like it, I don't blame you for not wanting to watch it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, hell no. Nah. I won't watch nothing you do again. Like, I didn't watch Nope.
That's on the list.
You going to watch Nope?
Yep.
If you watch Nope, I might give it a try so we could talk about it.
All right. Yeah, we got to finish off the trilogy, man. The Jordan Peele trilogy.
Oh, yeah, it's all the movies he got. Shout out to him, though, because he doing it black. He putting black actors and shit in there. Shout out to that. I think only reason why What's Called was a fire movie is because old boy played in it. And he's him and Lakeith. But, like, well, the main character is the guy. It was written well, too. Like, I'm not going to say. Like, I love that. That movie is dope. I got to give him the credit. Yeah. That movie is fire.
I mean, but you had Lupita in this one. She's a great actress.
Oh, here we go. That's great shit. Oh, Lupita. Lupita is Lupita. What Lupita playing?
Yeah.
Besides Black Panther.
She won an Oscar for 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, 12 Years a Slave. She the one that got... Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Damn.
We don't have to say it. We don't have to say it.
We got to. That got to happen for black people to win Oscars or be a gangster.